Wait a minute. It's real hip hop music. From the soul, y'all. It's the return of the real hip hop.
Thomas Torreira podcast 157 in an alley just south of Soho Square in central London on a warm summer's evening. So this will be in the past because I'll be in South America by the time this goes out. But before I fly out tomorrow, it's taken me, what, 6 years, 7 years to get today's guest on the podcast. So I couldn't turn him down. That's what she said. And it's quite appropriate. This alley is a metaphor for filth. Soho is a metaphor for filth. When Casanova arrived in London, the first place he came to was Soho Square. And do you know what he said? He said the women were minging, the weather was bad. Well, we shall see if that's true with today's guest. But just before we begin this podcast, if you're asking me about the Munich boot camp with today's guest, it is sold out. We didn't even have to do any promotion. I put it up on my blog and it sold out within days. So in the future, perhaps more, but that Munich boot camp is sold out. And I will be in South America until the beginning of August. I think I'll be flying back via San Francisco for some very strange reason. Not the best city for hot girls, but I've got to go there to see a man about a documentary. But anyway, if you're in San Francisco, let me know. I could do a meetup on the way back to London. But without further ado, it's a bit like Biggie Smalls. It's a bit like
yo,
it's an urban legend. If you've read book number one, cha-ching, Day Game. And if you've read book number one, you'll be aware of this guy that I started Day Game with in 2010. And in the book, he's called Anthony. It's not his real name, but you know, he gets mobbed, otherwise we have to call him Anthony. And in the book I say he's Spanish, and you might work out today that perhaps he's not Spanish. Perhaps he is. Perhaps his mother's Spanish. Perhaps
it's... Never found out.
we never found out why he always cries when you ask him that question. It's quite emotional. But anyway, this is Anthony, the man, the boy when I started. We were boys. We started in 2010, and apart from Rami, who you know about, this was the only wing I ever had. And I'm going to ask him how we met. I'm going to ask him about the CD years from 2010 to 12. And then suddenly, the thing that guys keep asking me about is what happened to this guy? Because they've read the book or they meet people who were in the Day Game scene in 2010, 11, 12, and they say, what happened to Anthony? The guy that you winged with, traveled with, taught with, we were with Baxter with. And this man just disappeared. But he's alive, he's in London, he's in an alley. He's just had a piss in this alley, actually, which is good. It suits the vibe. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Anthony. All right, mate?
Good afternoon, Tom. It's been a long time. It's been a long time coming.
About 8 years, mate.
8 years, I know. I don't know when I saw you last. It must have been...
It was emotional.
It was very emotional. It must have been when you published your documentary. The last one?
Indeed. Another evening of beer, and I think we finished in Soho. We finished in Freedom Bar, and then I lost you.
We finished with Baxter in Freedom. the usual madness of transvestites and...
Poles, mirrors.
Beers.
It was quite blurry, yeah.
Yes, blurry.
Beards and beers.
But yeah, like it's amazing to be back out in the game and to see that you haven't changed a bit.
I don't know if that's good or bad. It's nice that we're in exactly the same spot where I kind of left you in 2012. By that time we had made it to weird, dirty things in Soho and all sorts of stories that we're going to talk about. But first of all, if guys haven't read the book, how did we meet in 2010? Because Day Game wasn't even a thing in 2010.
In 2010, I was still at university doing an advanced degree. And I think you were still a teacher of children.
Yeah, so wrong.
Ironically.
So wrong. Ironically.
But there was this forum, actually, that I think a lot of people may not know about these days, but it was called LSS.
Yep.
The London Seduction Society, I think it was called.
Yeah.
And so I don't know about you, but like when I got into game, I was watching infield videos of guys like Alex Coulson, and they were like this really indirect sort of like, sorry, excuse me, do you know where the nearest coffee shop is, and that sort of approach. And I remember like literally sitting down and like watching that and thinking that's weird, but it might work, because I used to be like a guy who went out in bars and just old school hit on girls, and I watched this video and I thought, oh, let me try that out, and I went out into Hyde Park, and one of the first sets I ever did was like this kind of Alex Carlson approach, like, sorry, excuse me, do you know, like really indirect.
I didn't tell you that on the last world tour with Craig, we were sat in a bar with Alex Coulson.
Yeah.
And it was so fucking weird. He didn't actually know who I was, which was quite a good thing. But yeah, weirdly, Rami got into it in 2010 from Alex Coulson. You did.
I did.
And what was this thing about the LSS then? How did we actually communicate? Because in those days there was no WhatsApp.
Like, long story short, like, I tried that approach and the first girl I approached just gave me the number straight away. And then I started like basically looking for other material, and I came to the LSS and I just started like going, there was this section which was about like your in-field experience. I started like just posting like, I did this, I went out, I met this girl here, I went here, we had drinks here, I did these techniques. And as like after like a maybe half a year, I noticed, like, I don't know whether you were called Tom Torero already.
Was field reports and then lay reports.
Field reports and lay reports. And I started, like, posting.
We assumed everyone on that forum was a pro.
I assumed that I am, like, the last guy who should be posting, but let me just post.
Yeah.
And, like, I think, like, half year later, we had, like, three or four pages where it was Tom Torero. My name was different.
Yeah.
It was Tom Torero me. And, like, the first couple pages was just you and me.
An anecdote in that, when I met Sasha Daygame. His first question in 2010 was, oh, I've read your reports and Anthony's reports. Are these from like the last 10 years?
No.
I said, no, man, we just from this year.
Right now.
And that's when I realized all 99% of forums is just keyboard jockery.
Masturbation, right?
Yeah.
And that's how it happened, because you kept commenting on my stuff and I kept commenting on your stuff, and really quickly we realized that we have like that same kind of academic approach, but like it was always about getting laid. It wasn't about like just writing down stuff that's like imaginary. So it was really like in-field experiences. And then you said, like, we gotta meet up.
Yeah.
And then we went, and I know exactly which was the first set we ever did together. I don't know whether you remember this.
I remember the Trafalgar Square.
Exactly. It was Trafalgar Square. And back in the days on Trafalgar Square, you used to have those, what are they called? Like one of these, the people that make the music, and like, they're like a cult. They hand out shit.
Oh, the Hare Krishnas.
Hare Krishnas, and we hit on a Hare Krishna girl together.
It can be quite nice. Yeah.
And there was a lot of reciprocity. She was giving us flowers.
It was very indirect, you could say.
Yeah.
It was on steps, it was seated, was stationary, but very quickly it dawned on me that you had almost opposite strengths to me, and I had almost opposite strengths to you, and that you had this night game past, you had this sexual vibe, you had to calibrate down, I had to calibrate up. The first thing you said to me, and Bexer said to me, is, you're not a sexual man, you're just a fucking friendly guy, chody guy. And the weirdest combination was this background of academia, and at the time you were studying for a PhD in a fucking top London university, but you were a filthy bastard.
Yep.
From the first infields we ever filmed in 2010, they're there somewhere, we can find them. It was like, it was a filthy vibe in the day.
Yeah.
Something different to Alex Coulson, or at the time there was very little material online anyway, so we were in the dark, we were just guessing what to do.
Yep.
And we were indirect, but what was the reason, do you think, from 2010 to 12 that we became good very, very fast within the first year or two?
I think what you said is true, because you had like this very verbal skills that were, I think, extremely helpful to do like the comfort and the deep rapport stuff. Versus me, I was just going in and like just, my sets were much shorter. and they were much more direct. But if the girl had hooked, it was like game over. So I was filtering. Well, you were anti-filtering. You were just prolonging sets.
Yeah.
So I think what
I could get a number off anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
But it didn't end in sex.
Anyway. But I couldn't get a number of many girls. But when they were on,
yeah.
That's why like I straight away like got results, and you got results as well. But like for a completely different reason.
Yeah, I was very indirect.
When we sat together and like looked at how come you so different but get results, and I am so different and get results. How come it's like still working?
We physically created a Word document,
right?
Not just lines and routines,
right,
but we created, do you remember the dating bubble?
The dating bubble,
was just results from your dates and my dates,
right.
And you said, what do you do here? What do you do here?
Yes, exactly.
And we wrote it down.
And that's the main difference. I think the difference is that as opposed to most guys, we did 90% infield, maybe 5% we did like a reflection on what we're doing and how we're doing it differently, and maybe 5% also, I would say, rehearsing the routines.
Yeah, guys don't realize it. We came from a background of Ross Jeffries, Mystery, even Vince Kelvin, crazy people like this, Yad, Sin, and we would be fucking analytical. Like, I remember you phoning me in my lunch times. You were on your PhD break. I was on a work break at school, and you'd be phoning me saying, you know, you've thought about fractionation, or you've thought about cocky funny, or we were like thorough in our research of game history.
And academic in the sense that I would hypothesize about something working, and then I would go into the fucking field and try it every day for like, let's say 10 days. And if it worked, I put it to the repertoire, and if it didn't work, I'll just dismiss it. And that's what got us going, because we would just spend hours and hours refining the model, trial and error. And at that point, you became more of me. And I became more of you. And that's when we became dynamite, because you understood me inside out when I was doing a set.
Deep inside.
No, but I really mean it. Like when we went out and we did a set, like when I said something, you knew exactly why I'm saying it right now. And you knew in your head already you were preparing the next thing, which would make it like even more powerful.
We did a lot of two sets. Yeah, we did a lot of evening game because you had a job and I had a job, or you had a full-time thing. And we weren't in Oxford Street at the time. Guys might not realize this. Because I was living in Earls Court, Anthony was living in a fucking house of sin in Earls Court or near Earls Court.
Earls Court.
But we were gaming in South Kensington, King's Road, very flashy areas.
Everywhere.
And obviously day game would then become pub game and beer garden game. And this is what I want to ask you about.
Yeah,
because even when we discovered direct day game, which was the kind of Yad, Sasha phenomenon, but you had indirect down from the beginning, as in you would open a girl outside a pub.
As opposed to you, I was fucking.
No. I was fucking animals, which counts as a lay. Any hole's a goal, my dad used to say. Anthony would open with, excuse me, girls, do you have a lighter? And on paper, that sounds like a load of shit, yeah? But if you're calibrated and you give off a sexual vibe and you can spot which one of the girls gives you an IOI bag, then you go in.
Right.
And that was largely what the kind of thing we were doing.
Yeah.
Outside pubs, beer gardens, then we would even go inside the pub.
Yeah.
So even in the early days, it was day game, but it was gutter game. It was something in the middle.
Like, listen, anybody who tells me I can do every single girl at every given time of the day is just full of shit, right?
Yeah.
You're always like, you're putting out something and you're seeing whether something sticks. And as soon as you put something out to, say, a group of three girls, hey guys, you got a cigarette or you got to get a lighter? One of the girls will give you like a special kind of look for just 1 millisecond. And you got to be sharp to spot that. And then it's not really indirect. It's not really direct. But you know, your probability of hitting that girl is much higher.
Okay, but I forgot to ask you this golden question, because guys are thinking, why do you have this calibration? And I always assumed it was from your school years. I remember you were dating a hottie at school.
Yeah.
You had some fucking entitlement, right? And I don't know why. And everyone notices you do.
Yeah.
But why did you have this almost asshole school behavior about you?
I think part of it is to do with like the way I was brought up. I was always brought up like to maybe not be the nicest person and like just be straightforward. But the other thing that really like was special about the way I came up is I was in like a, not a big town, but in that town everybody knew me. I was, football wasn't the big thing, but I was always hanging out with the right people. and they were always much older than me. So I was hanging out with people that were like maybe 2 or 3 years older than me. When I came back to my social group, everybody was already, oh, he usually doesn't even associate with us. Like me coming into a room was, the room's value would already rise. So I didn't like have to beg or ask for anything. Girls would just come and say, oh, how come you're here tonight? And I could be an asshole and say, listen, I'm not really, like, I'm busy anyway, can we talk later? So I would just get a lot of IOIs, very direct ones. And then you just build that persona of like, listen, I'm not asking for shit. I'm just coming in here, I'm telling you what to do, and we're gonna do that. And if you don't like that, there's so much at risk for you to fall out with me that you're gonna try to please me.
We go,
that sounds really negative, but it's actually, that's just normal social dynamics.
And we also, the secret society, which is what we call it now, this understanding that underneath normal conversation and normal job and normal friends is a layer of when girls can be naughty and filthy, and it's in an eye contact, it's in a flick of the hair, it's in a second. And some people have it, which you clearly did in 2010. It took me another 2 or 3 years, you know what I mean, to get it, but you definitely had it.
So
I'm not saying you're a natural, but you came to the game
nobody's a natural. Listen, I'm also sometimes out of like touch with some of the latest developments in this industry, because I know like this whole secret society thing is like I've heard it from Eddie, I've heard it from Richard, I think, now, and I didn't know these guys.
It's an original Tyler post, actually, but it's a fascinating concept.
I didn't know that.
It's basically, as you said, picking up on very small IOIs or IODs. So it's a guy for whatever reason who's extremely calibrated. So when me and you just walked down the street, then we could sense on or off.
On or off.
And a normal guy has no idea. Or you know when a girl's with her boyfriend?
That's
my favorite one, and she's holding his hand.
But she's giving.
And you just stare at her like, all right.
No, I know what you're saying.
It's calibration.
What was the question again? Sorry.
Why are you such a dick? Why were you a dick in 2010?
Sorry, what did you do before you met me, Tom?
I sat in a corner with crayons and a helmet.
Such a nice boy.
That's what your mother said. Boo! Well, that's okay. That's just to clear up. Guys are going, he's a natural. He's a natural.
No, I'm not a natural. But.
Because the testimony to that is that most of the time you're a hardcore academic. Guys don't really even probably know what your job is now, but it's a very high up, cerebral academic.
It's a hedge fund type of job. Like
it's a very serious
job. Very academic. Like.
When I met you, you were extremely like university nerd.
Yeah, it was actually detrimental to my vibe because I was always like looking at like complicated statistics and stuff like that. But the other thing that it did is like looking for stuff like, how do you conceptualize something like what you just talked about, like secret society, a girl like giving you just that millisecond of a chance, and then knowing that that's the one to go for and not the other one. And the other thing, it's a feedback loop, because the more you, and excuse my French, fuck girls, the more you understand them and the more you understand how they are, basically what it is that they're doing when they want to give off this kind of like sexual vibe. And girls are way more filthy than you are, because you think you're a filthy bastard, but you're not. Girls are worse than guys, okay? So when you fuck a lot of girls, you understand what it is that they physically, verbally, non-verbally do to give you the indication. And a girl gets the highest direct turn on when she gives you that subliminal message and you pick up on it, because that is her way of filtering you. You're part of that society. And she gives it all day long, but most guys like, what the fuck, why is she looking like this?
Only a guy in the secret society gets it.
It's her way of filtering. Like, just as much as I like grab five girls and say, hey, come here for a second, I need to talk to you, what you do before you met me, that's her way of saying this.
They're usually unconsciously doing it, like, yeah, it's guys say, oh, she's playing.
And if the guy picks up on, like, I was just walking down the street and I had a girl like give me a massive IOI.
Do you remember the girl who was sitting outside the pub?
Exactly.
Yeah.
that, right?
And both of, I looked right, at you, you right. looked at me, but it was absolutely nothing was said. This right. is the problem with verbal it's game.
Not, and that's when people confuse natural with something you can learn. It's just you don't have the experience.
Yeah.
If you had the experience,
yeah.
you would just pick up on it
yeah.
and you'd capitalize on it. If you don't, you let it go. Sorry, we're like
no, well,
going
that's
over time.
No, 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 that's a good segue into, I say to students, you know, you don't settle down before you fucked, I say, whatever, 30 girls, 40 girls, 50 girls.
200, 300, 400.
Winning. Because that's the knowledge, that's the...
Yeah.
This it's called calibration. It's a stupid word because calibration is just hours and hours and hours of picking up on these signals.
Right.
We're just watching some girls come down an alley. Good evening. This looks really bad, I know. How dare you? We're good boys. We were just accused of ejecting heroin. We're semen. Semen stains. Guys want to know some of the stories. Perhaps they've read the first book.
Yeah.
And I think all the good ones are in the first book. I say openly, without yeah. kissing your ass, that
I would like that.
Anyway. I've seen your ass, man. It's not good. When Stephen Hawking talks about black holes... I think he's referring...
I shave it these days.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, I've seen far too much of Anthony minus some clothes, but not in a homosexual way. But some of the stories are what opened my eyes to the secret society, right? So yeah. I've jotted some down. I'm going to say them, and I'm going to hear your recollection.
I'm going to say yes or no.
Yeah. Did this happen, or didn't it happen? I remember you in South Kensington in a pub probably, and you, this is the yeah. first time I saw it. You walk in, you grab two girls' heads.
Yeah, eclipse.
And you do a three-way makeup.
Yeah.
In a bar.
That's pure conviction. That's just like going in and like not even flinching and just like, of course we're gonna make out,
yep.
and just grabbing them and just make out.
This was early days of.
No, it was like this, you and me
in a taxi. Yeah. Okay. You stop the taxi because there's a girl on the pavement, and yep. you get the girl yep. into the taxi.
Again, like it's pure conviction. If you believe it, it's state. I think they call it state transference or something fancy like that.
Yep.
Like whatever you feel. She's gonna feel. If you feel 100% certain, you just go out and you... Like, I have done the opposite. I have stopped a cab and made the girl roll down the window and made out with her and then said goodbye and just had her drive off. It's just about, like, conviction.
But this was in early days. This was 2011, maybe.
Yeah.
And yeah. for a nice guy that just does day game, okay. I keep saying you need to go and do some gutter game or some bar game because it opens your eyes to this world of girls.
Well, I can go into that later anyway, but game is just a fucking label for something that is very easily just described as interaction between men and women, and your job is to spark emotions very quickly and long-lastingly. So that's what game is. It's like, talk to a girl, get her to emotionally react, and keep those emotions rolling for a long time. Because if you're just flashy based on attraction, it will spike up and then die out. How quickly can you spike them up and keep them going? And that's what it's really about. And
it's an exchange of bodily fluids.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. This was a big one. That's what she said. I had banged a girl, a Polish nanny, I believe, from Trafalgar Square.
Yeah.
And this is the first time ever, perhaps, I said, I texted you and I said, man, I banged this Polish girl and she's pretty horny. I don't know why I said this to you, but I said, why don't you come along to the next date? Do you remember we met her in Acton?
Yeah, yeah.
We got some beers.
Oh my
we went
God.
To this poor Polish girl's house.
Yeah. It was weird.
We couldn't bang her together. It was very weird. But I remember you waiting on the stairs outside
yeah,
the room.
Yeah.
And didn't a housemate come up or something? And
no,
you said...
It was really quickly. I went with Tom into this place with this Polish girl, and she gave like the eyes to both of us all the way, like from the station to the house. And I walked into this room with like a can of beers, and there were like three guys sitting in the room and like fucking playing PlayStation. I like walking with this banging girl and Tom. And they're like, hey, right, mate. I'm like, yeah, what the fuck are you doing, man? You have like the stunner and you're like playing PlayStation. So we took her upstairs and then we were sitting.
We couldn't do it together.
We were sitting on the bed and you were like kind of making out, but I think at the time it wasn't really calibrated.
No, I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, so I grabbed her and she's like hardcore made out, and then like we started banging her together or something. But like I felt weird because Tom's dick is so big. I was like, man, I'm not man enough. So I said, I'm gonna leave the room for a second. So I go outside, but like you gotta picture it in a way. Like I was wearing underwear. So I go outside the room, I grab the beer, and I sit outside on this fucking stairs, and like I just hear like filthy noise coming from the room. And I'm having a beer, and all of a sudden I hear the stairs, like a girl running up the stairs, like some chatter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this girl comes up the stairs, and she goes to me and like, looks at me, I'm sitting in my underwear, and she's like, what the fuck is going on? And she's storming towards the door. I said, hey, listen, trust me. At that time, I was already like really filthy. I said, listen, trust me, really quickly, you don't want to go in there. You're not going to like what you see. She's like, what the fuck is going on? And she's like banging on the door, like, doc, you need to get the fuck out of the room.
That is completely true.
It's
but
true.
It makes me realize that I wish I was a beginner again almost, because I believe we did crazier things
and we had
more conviction in the beginning almost.
Yeah.
Because we pushed it so hard. Today,
yeah.
I probably wouldn't even like send you the message or invite you over or do that, but.
Yeah, because we're testing the bond. That's what you gotta do in the beginning. Look, the beginning is beautiful because what you get in the beginning is excitement.
Yeah.
Because every set you do is like, fuck, it's amazing. And you gotta use that energy.
Right.
Turned into dirt.
Just quickly, more dirt. This is a really funny one.
Well,
that I was banging a French girl. And this is the thing. If you share girls with your wing...
German girl as well.
Yeah, we'll come on to that. If you're sharing a girl with your wing naturally says to you, okay, I'll give you a girl. I'll find you a girl. And Anthony knew
that
what kind of...
That is not normal for normal people.
It's not normal.
Only for Tom that's normal. That's how I realize he hasn't changed.
Anthony knew what kind of girls I liked, and I remember you said, man, I'm banging this, and she was German. She said, she's got a boyfriend, she's at university, but you'd like her, man. And you showed me a picture, and I was like, fuck, man, that is exactly what I want. So we said, all right, I've got this French girl, she seems a bit bipolar, bi-curious. And we tried to bring them together in an easy, not easy jet, but easy hotel.
Well, first, to be honest, we banged the German together. First, we did.
Was it first?
First.
I don't remember.
We did the paint job.
I thought that was
body painting, baby.
Was that before or after the story?
We were at the Troubadour.
This I don't remember, but I remember the only... I wanted to bang this German girl, and Anthony said...
Oh.
Yeah. Anthony said, yeah, we can, but we need to give her a reason to come to Earl's Court. So the reason I said, tell her, I've just moved to Earl's Court, I'm painting my room.
Right.
And she can come and paint with a brush.
Yeah.
And she came over, and I don't know if we banged her together, but I do remember banging her.
Yes, we did. Okay, listen, let me tell the story. Tom is fucking demented by now.
Old,
demented.
I'm almost like Ross
Jeffries. Too many card readings.
Let me tell you something about yourself.
Listen, it feels really good and better and
you make very vivid images in your mind.
Yeah. So the true story goes like this. I was picking up this German girl in...
She was very nice,
very German. Outside Apple, what is it called? Covent Garden.
The date was in Seven Dials.
And then I had already like banged her many times. And then I took her out. I said, listen, I'm meeting my friend Tom. We need to paint his room. He's just moved in. Met her at the Troubadour in Earl's Court.
Legendary venue.
Yep. The Beatles or something. Who was playing?
Hendrix, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, so we said, let's go paint Tom's room after a drink or two. So we walked into Tom's room. She's like, are we really gonna paint this room? Like, no, how does the German say it? Are we really gonna paint the room tonight?
She's a very practical girl, yeah.
So anyway, like, we did a little spit roast. Can you say that? Is that
yeah,
much?
Yeah. No, that was probably the first time I banged a girl with
you. And I remember, like, Tom, like... I'm gonna
you
say it,
Tom,
and you edit it later, okay?
You said, Tom, wow, are you African? I said, in all the right places.
You remember when I fucked her? Like, you said, like, I never saw a guy do this. Like, I wasn't, like, slapping the ass like this. I slapped the ass like this.
No, you should say that. Yeah. Now, for guys going, oh, that's gay.
Yeah.
Listen, either you can watch porn, Rocco Siffredi, or, like I did many times with Anthony or with... all the other day game instructors in that Marble Arch house, you can actually watch your mate banging a girl. And when I saw you banging that German girl, I was like, well, I called the police. you suddenly realise, fuck, okay, you can do that, you can say that, yeah, you can spank that, spank you very much.
Read Nancy Friday's Secret Garden.
My Secret Garden. But, okay, how did we get from there to introducing then, the French girl, which fucked up? Fucked it up.
And then the French girl, we brought them together, and Tom the filthy bastard had rented a fucking, what was it?
Easy hotel, Earl's Court.
Which is like a hotel.
But
like,
we could only get the disabled room.
God, it was horrible. Tom really royally fucked up. Because it's like an easy chair. It's like a hotel.
Plastic
easy chair from the outside in like orange. And I walked inside and like, there's like plastic on the floor. Like
and an emergency cord for disabled people.
You can rinse it out in the toilet. You have like an alarm bell thing. And the girls were sitting on that bed and it was like, it was just weird.
It was weird. So the German left.
German ran out.
You banged the French girl.
You banged the French. You were sitting on the handicapped toilet, I was banging the French, and you were like peeking through the fucking thing because you wanted to learn some new skills. It was weird. As I told him, it's gay.
It was wrong, but it's so right.
Yeah,
you know. That was that story, which I think is in the book. And finally, the Swiss girl with gigantic tits. Not a model face, but do you remember New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
You had the Russian girl who looked like Cameron Diaz, I remember.
Yeah, she was beautiful.
I had a Swiss girl who, not the greatest face, but ginormous tits. I remember
massive.
These tits. And I had banged her, you had banged the Russian, we brought them together in sweet harmony we were doing something for Bechstein, I can't remember. New Year's Eve.
Yeah, we were doing.
They were making out. You were like, fucking, this is on, Tom, taxi, and then whatever, it didn't work out. Your Russian ran away.
Right.
She's Russian, she's a princess. And so we banged the Swiss girl as the New Year's Eve
resolution.
We started with a dong, with a big bong. Big Ben.
That's true, that story is completely true as
that's
well.
True.
Unfortunately, we lost the Russian.
We lost the Russian. She wasn't.
The Russian.
Let me ask you about the first hot Russian, because this is a different Russian.
Oh.
The first Russian we had ever kind of encountered was yours. I can't say her name.
She was banging.
For our London brains, this was the first kind of.
She was like a nine.
Yeah. Especially at the time in London.
I didn't like these numbers, but she was fucking hot, man.
Yeah, and that was your realization, like, okay, there's another level to this, like, and the way they behave.
Like, I figured out what the girls must feel like when they date me, like, you know.
They need counseling.
Yeah.
They usually cry. But I remember the way you could kind of interact with her in game was like different from Germans and French and English.
And
we said, this is fun and funny. Do you remember
that? She completely fell into that frame of like me just like looking at her and just saying,
I believe I can fly.
Blah, blah, blah. What are you even doing? And she would just hysterically giggle. And she would so like fall into this frame of like, I need to work to get
impress.
Impress
and she had a rich guy, we should say.
As well, man. She had like
this was the
photos of yards. One day she came to my house at 6 o'clock in the morning and she was calling me and I was like on the phone. I didn't realize she's outside my house. And she's like, oh, Anthony, I'm outside your house. Come, let me in. And I was like, listen, I'm not home. He's like, oh no, I see you on the phone and the window. I said, no, it's my brother. No, it's you. Okay, I gotta go.
And that was when I perhaps understood the secret society, that there's rich guys who buy these girls.
That's true.
And she was in Saint-Tropez in Miami. But then there was also,
she was
responding to idiotic, seedy, cheap behavior. Like we'd take her to Jewel Bar, we'd take her to Tiger, like
it was just it's just as I said before, game is about emotions. I could on demand spark her emotions so hard that she would just like, yeah, this guy is buying me like Chanel bags and taking me to a yard, but he cannot spark my emotions. And not only can Anthony bang me hard, but like he knows how to like treat me in a way that I feel feminine, and these other guys can't do that, and that's the difference, I think. Like, I don't want to like sound like it's not like putting women down. It's just like giving polarity. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You know?
I mean, frame. Very strong frame.
Strong frame. It's like that frame. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, sorry, did you not feel right or not tonight? Like, was this not like, should I do more of this? Or like, no, it's like, listen, this is what we have. Like,
well, that, okay, this brings us on to almost the end because we're in Soho.
Yeah.
The lights are shining. It's red lights in this alley. Down this alley, if you've read my first book, is one of Soho's shittest strip clubs. It's still there. I don't even think it's a real strip club. There's like one middle-aged woman on the pole.
Yeah, but
the
only, I think it's Rob's mom.
The only girl I've ever banged from a strip club was a hostess from that club, a Romanian.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can say, yeah, I banged a stripper. But she was from that club. Anyway, what are we talking about? Yes, if you want to test this polarity, test this dominance,
yeah,
you have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations.
Yep.
And from 2000 and maybe 11, we were, and this sounds odd, we were gaming in Soho.
Yeah.
We would take our dates to GAY,
yeah,
which is London's most famous gay venue, and Freedom Bar, which is a very odd bisexual venue. Why does this filthy frame aid in, help in the seduction and help in the polarity? Because not most guys would go, you're fucking mad, why are you taking a girl to a gay bar, or why are you taking a girl to a,
right,
but this, yeah, so, is this, so, is so, yeah, it goes in your favor.
Yeah, I think actually it communicates, you have to be careful. Like, I think if you take a Russian girl to a gay bar, it's gonna backfire.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could potentially backfire because she's like, why you take me to a gay bar?
It's too much.
It's too much. But like most girls, like if you have the confidence as a man to put yourself into a gay environment, and if you're really like confident, the guys won't even hit on you because they know you're like not gay. But you have the confidence to go there. It's not working against you, it's working in your favor. And on top of it, the filth of like that kind of environment, it just sparks this kind of like bisexual fantasies, all of this Nancy Friday.
Because girls are very happy with it. You notice that girls are extremely comfortable with it.
Yeah,
it's the guys that feel weird.
Yeah, exactly.
They love the gay guys around them, and then they're seeing things. Do you remember all the fucking weird shit you see in GAY?
Yeah, exactly.
And it helps the date, and then you bounce home. And we learned that from Baxter, venues like Freedom. But it's true. And that's where we kind of went our separate ways, because I started becoming a day game instructor. I lived in Marble Arch. And suddenly, you finished your PhD.
Yeah.
And you got a fucking serious job.
Yeah.
And I think you might have had a girlfriend. I can't remember. But why did you disappear in
2013, 14? Yeah, so I came out of a relationship and I was like just feeling bad. And like game, if you overdo it, it'll, like whatever game means, but like if you overdo it, it's, you're just, if you overdo it, it can take you down because it feels very empty. So like I think having a good aim of what you're actually doing rather than just having like a lot of women in your life, like making it more about yourself, about like
when it flatlines it's dangerous.
So you need to not make it about the girls, but you make it about progress, because game really is an analogy about mastering any kind of skill in life. It's about getting over rejection, breaking through your limiting beliefs. It's about dedication, it's about hard work, it has a lot of elements that you need in any kind of whatever you want to call it. Like
academics can do extremely well at it if you treat it like a project.
You treat it like a project, and so I went into that, and so then I got to know actually a girl that I dated for like two and a half, three years. And I left the UK, I was in the US for a little bit. For a year. And I came back, and then after like, I don't know, like another year or so, we broke up. And I still didn't feel like game, and actually, and that's when I started getting back into it, because like, for me, like all these dating apps and stuff, like, I don't know, I just don't feel it's the same thing. So I got back into game, and I think there is a missing piece, and I said it before, there is like, night game like is flashy, is loud, is chaotic, is quick, it's very attractive, and day game is the opposite, it's like verbal, quiet, controlled. Mm-hmm. And you know, the great guys like Baxter or like RSD in night game, and you had the great guys like you in Day Game, or the guy I'm hanging out with right now, Soul. So I think like there's these differences, but really game is game. At the end of the day, you're trying to spark emotions inside the girl. And if you can, and I think there's a gap between night game and day game that hasn't been filled.
People see it slow burning or fast burning, you know?
Right.
They see it like slow cooking or microwave cooking, but you were always something in the middle.
Right.
You know, 8 p.m., 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Even we used to go to Notting Hill.
Right.
Do you remember the pubs?
Yeah.
We would do beer gardens, smoking areas.
Right.
Or Craig is another good example, the guy that I often travel with. He openly says, Day Game is a good skill, it's useful, but the magic can happen
quickly.
Very quickly if you're traveling.
And that's what I mean. Like, and I think like there's this bar game, and then there's night game, and then there is day game. Like, bar game is between night game and day game, but there's a step between where you have like a day game approach that is slightly more sexual, and you cannot escalate physically like you can in a bar, but there is something in between. I've been experimenting with it, how you can touch in a day so it's socially acceptable, that makes a complete difference in the way the girl reacts, because it just sparks much more attraction that's long-lasting, rather than just having a nice conversation.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's missing, still missing. And for me personally, that's something I think I want to figure out. Like, you
for
know?
Sure, Day Game is guilty of just creating nice conversations and phone numbers.
Right.
And you know, I'm partly responsible. I encourage guys to leave their phone at home. I want to finish on this, actually.
Yeah, do it.
One of our secrets, probably from academia, is we would have distinct goals. We would have set pieces, even not just let's get laid. But I remember saying to you, right, today we're going to do, we're going to take a girl from the street together into a park and kiss her. What did we do?
We did exactly that.
Within three sets. Notting Hill, do you remember?
Then
you would say to me, this week I'm going to do bounce home. And we did it. And then you would say, this week I'm going to do Australian girls. And we would go and find an Australian girl and we would do it.
Yeah, it's so true, man.
You can't just go out and say, I'm going to go and do Day Game.
No. I agree with you. Like, very good example. Exactly. And I completely agree with you. Like,
We were so fucking specific.
The best thing to do is when you go out, like, you set yourself a name. I was out with Sol the other day and I said, today we're going to do two sets. And we're going to bounce them to Aqua, which is this rooftop bar.
Yeah, legend.
And what happened? Like, it took us like maybe 20 minutes, but like half an hour later, we're sitting in Aqua with two banging girls.
Yep.
And they were like 22, 23. Yep. And like, and I come out and said, so like, it's fucking weird, because all we said is we want to do this, and it materializes. As soon as you say it, it's like saying, I'm going
to
go.
It's different to the voodoo form of the secret, you know, law of attraction. This is just self-talk. This is just self-belief.
Exactly. You put yourself, you visualize this aim, like, this is what we're gonna, like, trust me, if you do it often enough, just test it. If you say, today I'm gonna do this, like, I'm gonna go meet a girl, take her to the park and make out with her, it's gonna happen. It's happening.
And London's the place to do it, because if you say, today I wanna meet a girl from Sweden, you can, right? All right, just to finish on a funny story before we give away Anthony's email, because not surprisingly, Anthony's back in the game. And the sold out Munich boot camp, you can't come with us to Munich. You can't come in Munich wearing Lederhosen. But I believe you're taking a break from your job to unbelievably dabble in this filthy world of pickup. Before I tell this story, what is your email?
It's anthony.hustlex@gmail.com. So anthony.hustlex.
Anthony with a H.
Yes. A-N-O-T-H-O-N-Y.
A-N-T-H.
A-N-T-H-O-N-Y. Sorry, a couple
special,
of years.
Special needs.
Yeah. ANTHONY.hustlex@gmail.com.
Yeah, I'll put it below anyway. And if you can get your channel up, this will be going out in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You've been out doing in fields. It's so bizarre that you're back in field, but I'm happy because I'm sick of answering the question, what happened to that guy from 2010?
Yeah, yeah, and also watch out. I'm putting up YouTube channel very soon. I'm doing filming now every day. By the way, just to give you an just to make you understand what it takes. Like, we used to go out, I think in the beginning, maybe 20 sets, 30 sets a week. I'm doing now 3 hours every day. I'm doing somewhere between 70 to 100 sets. Somewhere between 5 to 10 hours of filming just to get back into the game. So if you have that kind of dedication, you get that kind of results.
Yeah,
you cannot do it with like 2 or 3 sets a week.
Yeah.
And you need to build momentum consistently every day if you want to get good. And most people don't understand it, honestly.
Like, no, they have no idea.
That's true.
And when I say we were obsessive for 2 years, they don't understand. You need to have a PhD academic and a nerd like myself to be obsessive. And we thought that everybody else on that forum was doing it as well.
No.
And quickly we realized.
But now the knowledge is out there and all you have to do is soak it up and spit it out every day.
Swallow, swallow, baby, swallow.
Swallow.
The final story, right? The first time we ever went to... first time we went to Riga in Latvia, and we were just there and we said, look, we'll do a bit of game, but we're just going to have a bit of a holiday. We had some beers, and then we spot some Americans in a bar, and I said to Anthony, just for fun, man, just try some of that really old shit, you know, the cliche cheesy Ross Jeffries kind of NLP. And what happened? Can you remember even the routine? I'm sure you can.
I remember the routine because, as I said, we used 5% of the time to just practice routines.
Yeah.
And so the routine, I remember it's a Ross Jeffries routine. It's like...
It's fucking gold.
It's really good. It goes like this. Let me tell you something about yourself. You make images in your mind very, very vividly. As a matter of fact, you can be talking to somebody, but you could be a million miles away in your favorite fantasy vacation location. Is that right?
And it's not the words, it's the eye contact,
the eye contact
the delivery.
And the delivery.
And this girl was with a group of Americans, and she honestly just went, oh my God! And her friend said, no, come on, we got to go to the club. And she went, no.
Game over.
Carry on. Tell me more. Please tell me something interesting about myself. God bless Americans and Californians. And you proceeded to run the usual, you know?
Yeah, that was just the hook. But after that, like every other guy who would come, like say, so you like from Minnesota or like what is he going to do?
And we had studied Russ Jeffries and you run the arm, you run the finger up her arm and you say it feels better and better and better, deep
better
inside.
It feels the stronger it feels.
Yeah.
And the
feels good, doesn't it? Say yes. Oh my God. And she literally, it was the first, oh my God, I'm using like literally, but she literally...
Spazzed
I've
out.
Not seen it to that degree. She spazzed out and went, oh my God, how do you know this shit about me? Oh my God. And you took it back to the hotel.
Man.
It was almost pathetic in its amazingness that
it's
you
to
can.
To the degree that you want to like say, listen, I'm not interested anymore.
Yeah, it's a joke.
So
it started off as a joke. This is too much. But to a Californian girl, it was ridiculous. And that was the day we said, you know, thank God for people like Ross Jeffries and Vince Kelvin and all these people we took from because that was the beginning. Anyway, we're going to be in Munich in August. Come and say hello. We'll be wearing lederhosen. We'll be looking like Bruno.
Das
ist sehr gut, ja. Fantastisch, ja.
I will say stuff like, listen, I'm totally faithful apart from blowjobs and that kind of stuff, you know.
It's an old joke. I mean, the young boys, I can smell some lovely weed.
African-American.
We shall be in Munich and then I don't know what the future brings, but Anthony's back in the game after 6-7 years. So, that was the myth, the icon, the legend. He didn't die. He's here in an alley.
I'm almost, but Tom saved my life 5 times with him.
The kiss, the magic kiss.
See you later.
From Soho, we shall say goodbye.
Auf Wiedersehen. It's Big Daddy, you know, and sing your father.